Part of me wants to get another coffee, but I feel like I can push through for 5 minutes.
I believe in you.
You guys are making a podcast.
No one asked for this.
So welcome to the podcast nobody asked for with me, Ian Harries.
And me, Graham Jones.
And
That bit not redundant because we do that in the thing, or are you going to chop that out?
We do it.
Yeah.
But I thought we should still do it.
Okay, fair enough.
Because people are used to a certain format.
Right.
Which obviously, I just feel like it's our thing, you know?
Yeah. Is it more for your kind of mental well-being than
yeah it's kind of like stretching. It's like, because if I don't say that, my brain forgets we're recording.
Okay.
Which is why I can't say welcome in day-to-day life anymore, because I start thinking I'm in a podcast. I start queuing up jingles. It's a weird thing for me.
Yeah, fair enough.
Anyway, this is a very special episode.
Extremely.
In that we get to save a bit of time because we're not actually going to record anything.
Yeah, this is very true. Well, we are this, but yeah, I get your point.
But we get like an hour and a half back. It's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
So as a lot of you know, we recently did our first ever live show, thanks to the wonderful people at the Cheerful Earful Podcast Festival, and that's what we're gonna play for you guys now. It still doesn't particularly feel real.
No, it was quite a surreal. It was a surreal week because we had that, and then we had the awards on the Wednesday as well, which we were unfortunately robbed for. But yeah, it was quite the week in podding, and I think we've discussed this at length. But given what this was, and I guess to a degree what it still is, which is a hobby at the end of the day, to have been nominated for 3 awards and done a live show this year is kind of mad.
Oh, it's nuts. It is my favorite thing as well is what we did on our traditional recording in the woods undrafted episode after Slam Dunk this year. We made a comment about, I don't wonder if they'll ever let us do a live show.
We did, yeah. And turns out they will.
Manifestation. But it was a lot, an awful lot of fun. So we're gonna play that now. I might interject during some of it because I don't think a lot of it is. For example, we play an entire 2 minutes of a movie trailer. Not sure you guys just want to listen to us listening to a trailer.
You could do, you need like the elevator music or something in between.
Which we have.
Or you would do.
Yeah.
The Girl from Ipanema is your go-to.
Yes. Which we're referencing future reference there.
Future reference. Yeah, some highlights, I think, from the day. We had a green room for the first time. That was fun.
Which was, there was a brief moment I thought we were going to get murdered because the green room was in what could only be described as a tunnel below a pub.
Yeah, it was proper cellar vibes. There were zero windows, weirdly a shower, a toilet, and a few hangers and beat up sofas. But I have an experience of one green room and it was all right.
Yeah, and as I said there, the sofa was clearly broken. But broken in a way that makes it more comfortable.
Oh, like, it was a comfy sofa.
There was a very real risk of me not being able to get up out of that sofa.
Yeah.
Like, just having all of the guests kind of, for want of a better word, pulling me up.
Yep. So that was fun. We also got to meet James
from Lawmen.
Yeah. James Shakeshaft, I was just looking up his surname, who was a very nice chap. Who was
very
on...
funny podcast as well. Lawmen is fucking great.
Nice. I have not partaken, but I will take your advice on that because he was very funny.
It's another podcast presented by a bearded man and a ginger guy.
Nice. That's the perfect formula.
We should get us all together. We should get us, them, and Unequal Sequel all to do an event.
A three...
The Ginger Plus One Festival.
The Ginger Plus One Festival. And we get Harley, who's jingle. Father! The podcast wanted to adopt a son. Ian told Graham he had just the one. Our boy Harley found a fundamental show. But Ian, why did you name him so? Graham Charlie, who's so James was guesting on the Fundamentals. He was, and he then sat with us for the Getting Defoe U, which was wild. I just realized then, because I went back to being in that seat with James sat to my left, you sat to my right, winning a copy of, well, he won a copy of LA, what's it called? LA. So I can't remember. There was a Blu-ray he won, which I now have upstairs. It took me back to the room, and I realized I have blanked out everything that happened in that from my consciousness, because it was a bit too much.
So, yeah, so before us, we had the Fundamentals, which were incredible, and then Getting Defoe U. So I know the Fundamentals episode is already out, so go check that out. Getting Defoe U, you haven't put theirs out yet, but they read 15 minutes of Getting Defoe, Willem Dafoe erotica, which their friend had written.
No, written by him.
No, their friend wrote it, because it was about Petros fucking getting fucked by Willem Dafoe.
Yes, but he edited that
part. Oh, okay.
So he found that, and then he edited Petros into it, because he was like, his question, at least as Petros said on the day, it was like, his question to Petros was like, do you want me to like edit this, tailor it down or anything? And Petros was like, you know, do what you think works. And the only thing that he actually did end up editing was that Petros was the subject of Dr. Octopus and the Green Goblin's desires.
That's so fucking weird. Very funny, but Jesus Christ. But yeah, it was a very good day. So shall we just drop into
it? Yeah, let's head on over to past Ian and past Graham for their moment in the limelight at the Bedford in Balham.
Actually, we're handing over to Anthony Rapp.
Absolute cad.
Yeah, and even if you did go to the show, stick around until the end, because we have a very special surprise for you.
Yes, this is not one but two special guests.
Hello there to Ian and Graham. You are the hosts of the podcast Nobody Asked For, which begs the question, why are you doing it? What is your podcast about? I'm curious. I wish you luck on your first live show. Does that mean live to the podcast network, or you're actually doing a show in front of an audience? That's a question that I have. I won't be listening because I don't even know where or what this is. I don't know. I have this notion that with the names Ian and Graham, you might be from the UK. I don't even know if UK podcasts are available in the United States where I live. Anyway, I wish you all the best. Apparently, you argued on an episode. If you've already had an episode, this would be your first live episode in front of people. Anyway, if Benny's a villain, what do I think? Benny's not a villain. Benny, though, I do think, doesn't handle a very challenging situation very well. Understandable, he's got a lot of pressures, but yeah, he's not a villain per se, but yeah, I don't think that he necessarily is being very nuanced in his approach. But I wish you all the very best, and have a blast doing the podcast Nobody Asked For. Take care.
You guys are making a podcast.
This.
So welcome to the podcast Nobody Asked For with me, Ian Harris.
And me, Graham Jones.
And this is the intro which I usually read off of the computer screen, but I don't have that now. But I think we're the podcast that does a top three list of a topic that nobody asked us to talk about. And this time we're doing films we shouldn't admit we enjoyed, and we are figuring that out live at the Cheerful Earful Podcast Festival. Woo!
Yeah, thank you to Anthony Rapp for that money we wasted on Cameo there. I don't know if any of you are aware of Anthony Rapp, but he was in the movie Rent. He is clearly not doing very well anymore because he's on Cameo.
Was also in School of Rock.
Yes.
Which I didn't realise until recently.
Yeah.
And Star Trek, but less songs in Star Trek. Apart from that one episode, which was a musical, but he's not in that one. But he's the lead singer of No Vacancy.
He is indeed, yeah. And also now shilling crap.
Now shilling intros to pre-recorded cold opens for podcasts.
For 40 quid a pop. So yeah. Money well spent.
So if you need a cameo from a former Broadway star, check out Anthony Rapp. We nearly went for Paul Chuckle.
And I don't know if anyone has ever been in a situation where they've had to figure out whether to go for Anthony Rapp or Paul Chuckle. It's a weird one. But Paul Chuckle doesn't know as much about the film Rent.
No, and I think he's probably doing a bit better than... I mean, he's got a Range Rover with the number plate to me, so he's doing all right for himself.
What's fun here is we have had long conversations about being worried about the types of jokes we would make because we know how much we edit out of the podcast.
Yeah.
And all I want to do is ask where the To You car is now.
Well, it was part of an estate sale, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's sad. Love you, Barry. Anyway, this is our first live... Well, technically our second live podcast.
Yeah.
So our first live podcast we did in a car in the woods because we were stuck in traffic coming out of a music festival, which wasn't quite as many people, but it was still kind of a lot of fun. And we thought, fuck it, let's go for it again.
Let's do it again, yeah. Thank you all for coming out. Sorry you didn't have anything better to do on a Sunday. And I think at least one person here would probably prefer to be at the Jets Broncos, but I don't know how well that's going, so maybe you wouldn't want to be there.
No. Yeah, it's a weird one. I mean, like, live shows are always fun. So Graham and I, as I'm assuming all of you know, go to an awful lot of gigs. And I really like the idea of a live podcast show being a lot more like a gig than it is.
Full, like, Rammstein pyrotechnics.
Full Rammstein. I want pyrotechnics. Yeah. I want a circle pit. Yeah. I want there to be a support act.
Open where up, guys. Less,
yeah, just a full wall of death in the middle of your pick. I want people like just reciting back the stuff that we've said.
Yep.
Support back acts.
Support
back.
We had a couple of support acts.
We had a couple of support acts, but yeah. I do like the idea of like you'd go to see off menu,
yeah,
and then we would come out and just do like a solid 15 beforehand. But I don't think that quite works because we're going to struggle fitting this to an hour.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, shall we go through our kind of new format?
The format change.
Also, still the same format.
Same, but different.
Same, but different.
Absolutely. So, normally, top three. You have a top three, I have a top three. We have a joint top three. We argue about it, and that's the pod. But obviously, we typically, I would say, anywhere between 2 and 2.5 hour slog fest through a recording.
Yeah, so it's taken, given that when we started this podcast, it was, it'll be like an hour. And then weirdly, well, not weirdly, because this is our podcast and I'm deciding what we're talking about, because of Rent, an episode went to 2 hours long.
Yeah.
And our friendship nearly ended.
It did. Hence asking Anthony Rapp to weigh in as to whether Benny was a villain.
Yeah,
and he
didn't.
Professional fence sitter, Anthony Rapp.
No.
But there we go. Yeah,
for
so
all
we,
of your cameo needs, please go to Anthony Rapp.
So instead, still top three. Ian's bringing a pick. You'll realise why that's quite funny later. And shall I apologise to your parents, or do you want to?
Yeah, I chose my film before I realised my mum was going to be here. So it's... Dad's here as well, that's fine. But I think... Dad would have not understood, per se, but expected. And, like, I don't want to back myself into a corner immediately with how weird it is, but we're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah. So Ian's got a pick, I've got a pick, and then we put out on socials about 2 weeks ago now, and I think we've had 30-40 odd suggestions from the audience. So there's a few standouts. We're going to pick one of those, and then you guys are going to help us with a old-fashioned clap-o-meter to see what the order of the top three is by the
very
end.
Very 90s TV. Yeah. And we're back to the Chuckle Brothers.
Everything comes back to the Chuckle
Everything
Brothers.
Everything comes back to the Chuckle Brothers. And with kind of like the clapping stuff, it's worth also mentioning that. So the great people... at Cheerful Earful, as you can see in the programmes in front of you, nominated us for an award earlier this year, which
Two awards.
You are correct. Nominated us for two awards earlier this year, which is weird. One of them was for a section of an episode where Graham talked about talking to Shane Ritchie, who was on the way to or back from.
On the way to, because obviously you stop off at a Toby Carvery on the way to a funeral.
Exactly. Talking to Shane Ritchie on the way to a funeral. And the other one was for our incredible social media.
Yes.
Which is nice. And so two comedy awards, neither of it for us actually being funny.
No, and neither of them we won. But we were up against Frank Skinner, and he also didn't win, so therefore we are as funny as Frank Skinner.
Which is it's on, the only thing that helps me sleep at night. Is just thinking, you know what, Frank didn't win either.
And it's ironically the one thing that keeps him up at night as well.
Yeah. So who was that guy? He just kept kind of looking at me when the other people got announced. But anyway, they also do a Best Live Show Award, which obviously we're going to enter next year. So I need everybody to be as comically a pantomime audience as you can be.
I know you don't.
Like, I expected that from them.
He's behind you.
Thank you. But yeah, so just like, you know, like laugh when we're funny, laugh when we're not funny, laugh when there's pause, just kind of laugh. Like, it'll help us out. Because there are, keep this between us, there are obviously hundreds of you here! It is a fucking pantomime.
It is, yeah.
Anyway, what do you want to talk about, right? I mean, this is weird. We spent the last, like, 3 hours together.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking it's a bit different to the normal kitchen table setup. There's no cat trying to encroach on the camera or Bowie trying to disrupt everything.
Yeah, I mean, the most different thing with this podcast is my wife is actually listening.
Same.
Oh, she's not. She's just hearing out for Alex, who is manning the slides for us.
Yeah.
Which is great. We appreciate it. We could have spent a fiver on a Bluetooth clicker, but we didn't. We appreciate you.
AI is coming for too many jobs. We need to keep things manual.
Yeah. Your wife's also listening?
She is, again, for the first time.
They're sitting on polar opposite ends of the room.
But the right sides as well.
Yeah, no, true. Yeah. Which I do appreciate. I mean, we have gone the full Anton deck.
Yeah.
If people can wonder, if we have purposefully sat on our side of the double act. Which...
Well, not the full Anton deck, because one of us didn't drink drive here.
Well, we both had beer. That one didn't go down well. He's come a long way. And they
he runs a fake bank now.
They don't. No, because there's the advert where they quit.
I don't know.
Is it a bank or is it a building? So this is a fun, riveting conversation. What's the difference between a bank and a building society, Greg?
Ownership by the members, I believe.
You actually knew?
Yeah, I'm my mortgage is Nationwide.
Oh, of course. And for the people in the audience and the people at home, you may notice that I have a notebook and Graham has an iPad. Which, if there is a visual description of the differences between us as people, I think that's there. Anyway, and also for people wondering, we've got our phones out because one has a timer on it because we are going to stick to time. And the other one is because I'm hopefully expecting an email at some point. But it also means both of us are going to be getting updates from our fantasy team. So if one of us suddenly looks really sad, it's because of that.
Yeah. I can also just look at Murray and just, I can gauge what's going on in the game.
Murray always looks sad. He's in the police. Crowd work.
I didn't know you knew Sting.
Hey! The only Sting song I could think of is Feels Gold. Which doesn't help, because Roxanne's the police, not necessarily Sting.
Well, that was a joke.
And obviously that's the whole, given what we're going to be talking about later, I don't want to talk about tantric sex in a room where my parents are here. If that's all right with you.
But what is about to follow is fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, guys. Anyway, on that note, I think it's time for a movie recommendation nobody asked for.
Well, not quite. We normally do a movie recommendation nobody asked for, but we thought, given that this is a live podcast, and we've had, as we mentioned previously, a couple of support acts today, two of our good friends. I don't think they were technically billed as support acts, but they were on before us, so we're gonna call them that. So Harley, back of the room from the Fundamentals,
our giant son, Harley, who netted us half an award.
Yes, this is very true. We technically got nominated for 2.5 awards because Harley's... Jean? No, what was it?
Did you say, is Harley a Jean?
No, I was going to say, was it a jingle? But it wasn't a jingle. That's our next award.
Fuck it, he's here. Harley, what did you get nominated for?
Tangent?
Tangent, yeah. Because we introduced him to Gary Barlow's Massive Son.
We
not
did
literally.
Introduce him to Gary Barlow's Massive Son.
It was that was a weird time in our lives.
So big.
Yeah.
I mean, Harley's nearly 7 foot, so.
Massive son. We are in news that will surprise none of you. By far, the shortest podcasters here. Everyone, like, I don't know where the fucking, like, memo came from, but everyone is, like, 6 foot and change.
Yeah.
It's not fair. Actually, if we're lying about the, not lying about the audience side, there's sort of hundreds of people here. I'm 6'1".
Yeah. Same.
Right? Thanks, Ryan. Always like it.
We, just as many of you were arriving, we were watching our good friends do their live Getting Defoe You podcast, which contained more Willem Dafoe erotica than I was expecting. But yeah, very good. And yeah, so we thought we'd use the opportunity to say go listen to some other good... Listen to ours first, obviously, but then go listen to these guys because they're both very good. And we've both been on... I've lost count of the amount of times I've been on the Fundamentals 7 between us.
I have a badge, it's on my hoodie, which I'm not wearing, which doesn't help anyone.
No. And then Defoe, you, I've been on once, you've been on...
I've been on once. You went on to talk Wild at Heart, which you watched on a plane going to Paris.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
You live a fancy life.
Yeah, that was a big mistake.
Wild at Heart's fucking weird, though. Yeah, but we don't have time to talk about Wild at Heart.
We don't have time to talk
about... Not anyway. When I'm talking about the film in a minute.
So yes, podcasts instead of movies, but I think... Given we are a film and TV podcast, it would be remiss not to give an alternative recommendation.
I think so.
For
I think
movie.
We should actually recommend a film.
We should.
Does any spring to mind? Okay, right. Great. Should we go on three?
On three.
Are we going 3, 2, 1? Are we going 3, 2, 1? Then.
3, 2, 1. Then.
3, 2, 1. Then.
Yeah.
Right. 3, 2, 1. Midsummer.
Ari Aster's Midsummer.
Fuck. We practiced
that. We practiced
that
last night. We agreed on Ari Aster's Midsummer.
We agreed on Midsummer. We agreed to do the simple one.
We didn't.
All right, fuck it. Right, let's one more time. All right, when we do this, click next slide. It'll be great. Everyone's gonna love it. Right. Three, two. Wait, which one? Ari Aster. Ari Aster. All right. Okay. Cool. Yeah. Right. No one's expecting what we're about to do.
No.
Right. Three.
I like the eye contact.
Three.
Two.
Two. One.
Ari Aster's Midsummer.
Yay! It's a great film.
It is a very good film.
It's about grief. We're talking about grief a lot today, weirdly. not weirdly. I'm on antidepressants.
Woo! Oh.
Which of us? We'll share notes later.
Anyway,
well, great. Midsummer's super sad.
Midsummer is super sad. It's super good.
As soon as I mentioned antidepressants, your wife started filming. And I do feel like this is now like some kind of like medical case study.
I mean, she does work for the NHS as a psych nurse. But anyway, I think with that, it's time to get our first pick.
Yeah, right. So, like we said, we're talking about films we shouldn't admit we enjoyed, and my parents are here. So, this is a film which is really fucking weird. So, this... Amazon describes this film. So this is the synopsis according to Amazon. A young man with a bruised face is discovered at an airport. He claims to be Adrien Legrand, a child who disappeared 10 years ago. As he's finally reunited with his father, gruesome murders are piling up in the region. That's a lie. First of all, she's a woman. So, she is a woman who's also a serial killer, who I think killed people at an orgy.
But they were all in different rooms. Maybe they were planning an orgy.
A busy orgy. A dead orgy? Does that mean an orgy? Hey, Dad. Does that mean an orgy has gone well or badly if you're all in different rooms? Because like, there's a lot of house parties where people always like end up in the kitchen. Is that like the sex party version?
Possibly. Yeah. Maybe
this isn't even the weird bit of the fucking film.
Maybe there was just they were in the housekeeping section of the orgy. Yeah. Just you know, this is your room. Yeah. This is everyone's room.
Anyway, she kills loads of people, right?
Yeah.
So she's a serial killer. He then dresses up as a missing child and then hangs out in a firehouse with the guy with the dad of the son who went missing. And the dad kind of like knows this is bullshit, but because of the aforementioned grief, just kind of keeps her around. To make this whole escapade even harder.
You're burying the lead here.
Yeah. Yeah. To make it even harder. She is pregnant, and she's pregnant, And I'm going to lose you all in a minute because she had sex with a car. Yeah, so this is the French film Titan. Sorry, not only because I see my parents, but I could see myself in a mirror at the back of the room about to say, not only is it about a woman fucking a car, but it's like a really weirdly sweet film. Like, it's like it covers things of like found family and grief and all of that good stuff you want from a movie. But whenever you tell someone, oh, have you seen Titan? It's great. Everyone just goes, either, is that one where she fucks a car? Or they don't know that, and I have to be the one who tells them that she fucked a car, and then I'll be talking about, yeah, like the whole, you know, the found family side of stuff, and all they're sitting there thinking is, how does she fuck a car? Like, what does she do? What exactly does she do?
I also
with that
know.
Modified 1984 Cadillac Coupe de Ville limousine.
I also don't think you can call a film sweet when she literally murders someone by putting a stool down their neck and sitting on it.
It's French.
It's very French, yeah, because also, everyone is naked.
Yeah, also, just for people in the room, but this is a podcast we're putting out publicly. This is the first time Graham and I have talked about this film, because he watched it for the first time yesterday.
Yeah, I like to do my prep well in advance.
Yeah. So, questions?
Many.
Yeah.
Do you want one of the things? So I made some notes as I was watching it. One of my favourites was so my wife was in the room whilst this was on.
Sorry. Was,
I think shopping the entire time on her phone for most of it, and about 2/3 of the way through, she just went, "Not really a film I'm into." Turned over and went to sleep.
Not into cars.
Well, not into as cars as much as she is, for sure. She makes Jeremy Clarkson look like he once said, "I like a Mercedes." Like, she really likes cars.
Yeah. What is fun, and I had to stop them doing this, when people put their picks in for our audience pick, somebody was going to put their name down as Car Girl. And I had to stop them doing that because I knew what we would be talking about today.
Yeah. The funny thing as well, obviously, because so the whole bit at the beginning is she has a car crash when she's a kid. She gets a titanium plate in her head, and that means that she loves cars for some reason.
Thus the Titan, I think.
Yeah, but then, so she has the aforementioned relations with the Cadillac.
She fucks a car, Graham.
And
say it while making eye contact with my dad.
But the thing that I'm curious about is, like, she obviously really, really likes cars.
Really likes cars.
But she, like, drives a really shit little, like, VW or something. So do you think...
You don't shit where you eat.
Well, I was going to say, do you think that's so she can actually get around? Like...
Maybe.
Because otherwise she'd get nowhere.
Yeah, but also, like... So, also, for, like, spoilers. Sorry, some people in the audience look horrified. Like, weirdly, friend of the podcast Dan is taking this worse than my mum is. She also fucks a fire engine later. Doesn't get her pregnant. Yeah.
She used protection.
Yeah, like... Man.
Yeah. Like, also, like, they really lent into the, like... 90s.
She didn't just lent in, she sat in.
she did. But it was like the, you know, like the 90s, like Latino hydraulics in the car.
Yes.
Which felt too. This movie is not subtle.
Because you think they're going to, and now I'm going to use a weird collection of words, given that I've talked about a woman getting impregnated by a car. You think they're going to do it the classy way of she gets into the car. You see, like, the hydraulics going up, and then you, like, nicely pan away. And it feels like they're going to do that, but then when they kind of pan, you then just go into the car and she's fucking a car.
Yeah.
Great film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got a good soundtrack, I'll give it that.
Good soundtrack.
It's a very good soundtrack. The Kills, the Zombies, Future Islands.
Oh, yeah, Future Islands turn up in it.
In that weird, like, kind of dance thing at the end.
Yeah, in the fire engine.
Yeah,
my favorite. No, in the firehouse.
Yeah, not in the fire engine. My favorite scene of the whole movie is the bit. Also, why Why is the fire engine?
Why, Ian?
Why are the fire engines also doubling up as like that ambulance service in it at one point? I didn't really understand that.
Totally, this would be worth. No, don't skip yet. It's fine. Sorry. So recently, I have predominantly been watching Chicago Fire.
Okay.
In Chicago Fire,
is that based in France?
No, but it's. I'm only three seasons in, and as of now, nobody has fucked a fire engine. And Chase from House is in it, and he fucks a lot of stuff in House.
Yeah.
But yet to fuck a fire. If anyone is ahead of the series than me, don't ruin it for me. Like, if it does happen later on, I just want to get there naturally. But it's the same in America. It's because the way that their fire service and stuff is spread out, you're more likely to be near a fire engine than a hospital.
Okay, fair enough. Anyway, that leads to my favourite.
Yeah, that wasn't funny, that was just the answer. No, I could try and be funny, yeah? It's because they're fucking hot. Everyone wants to fuck a fire.
I quite enjoyed the CPR to the Macarena.
Yeah.
And do we think that's because the Bee Gees weren't big in France?
Oh, that's interesting. Maybe. But then what wouldn't they... The Macarena's also a slightly weird choice for... I'm also, because the only French...
Well, it's when she has to take her hands off to do the moves, isn't it?
That's really not good for the CPR. Yeah, it's not ideal. It's not an ideal song choice. You shouldn't do one with musical numbers in. But, yeah, so like it's a weird one to admit you enjoyed, and I really did enjoy it, but it involves me sitting here in front of my parents talking about how this woman gets impregnated by a car. And yes, the baby is half car. We don't have time to talk about what that is.
My only note on that was just that ending.
it's weird. So it's also a body horror because a woman is pregnant by a car. It's weird, man.
It's very strange. It's a lot of people have compared it to Crash, so the David Cronenberg movie from the
90s. The one about where they like solve racism.
No. They just find car crashes. But
even in then, they're not fucking the actual car.
No. But interestingly, I was reading an article in the LA Times, and the director rubbished those things. She's like, nothing to do with Crash. I don't know if she said she hadn't seen it, and obviously she said all this with a French accent. But
try it.
No. She claimed that
she fuck the car.
You're gonna have to do a fuck the car meter, I think, on this one because you've mentioned it many times.
Ding, ding, ding.
Relations with the Cadillac.
Yeah.
Jingle.
You got to do it now.
Just a live jingle.
Yeah.
She fucked the car again.
So
isn't that weird?
She kind of talks about like art and photography because she's, I guess, trying to be all art house and everything about her inspiration for it. But then she pulled out 1917, as in the one-shot World War One movie, as her main inspiration for this. And I don't know how she's connecting those dots.
There's already people sitting in a van in that movie. I think that's it, though.
Yeah. Don't know. I'll take her word for it, but
that's cool.
I'm not.
Right, I've got a couple of minutes left in my section, and this is going to get even weirder. Because another reason I struggle to kind of talk about this film properly is because it also reminds me of a documentary that I watched with my dad. And I'm going to apologize now for the image that is about to be shown on the screen. This is a Channel 5 documentary called My Car Is My Lover, which aired in 2008. That is not my dad. It is, like, imagine if Louis Theroux's Weird Weekend was, like, really weird. Like, really, really car-fucking weird. So it's about these two guys who really, really love their cars, and they go on a road trip. And the part of this, which I will tell anybody who listens, and you're all paid here to listen to this as well, which is even funnier, is that there's a part where the documentary crew wake up, and outside their motel room, they hear a weird noise. And it turns out one of the car fuckers, which I believe is the collective noun for them, who's in love with a Volkswagen Beetle called Vanilla.
Okay.
Silence.
Yeah.
has had an affair with the cameraman's car. So there is a scene where they just kind of like proper like curtain twitching. Watch this, that guy licking a Chevrolet.
You wouldn't leave him alone with the car, though, would you? Look at him.
No, I didn't think it was possible to look like somebody fucks a car. But if I had to guess, that's more what I'm imagining than the previous one.
Yes.
Yeah, but yeah, weirdly, I'm fairly sure I either watched that or have discussed it with my dad. And that is really weird. And I would say a barrier to admitting fully that you enjoyed a film where a woman gets impregnated by a car.
Yeah. So I'm jury's out on this. I know it's got, it won the Palme d'Or.
Won the Palme d'Or?
Not my car. But Titane. It is interesting, and it veers for me between, is it really, really good, or is it just really, really wanky, or is it just
French,
obscene, and also French, yeah. And I'm not entirely sure I've had enough time to sit with it, because it's been less than 24 hours to make a decision.
This is going to sit with everybody who's had to listen to me talk about a woman fucking a car for 15 minutes.
It's... But I think you've nailed the topic, because you shouldn't admit it in front of these
No! Because it makes me look weird.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, it's a really good film. But there is no world in polite society where I can mention, have you guys seen Titane?
So you just thought you'd bring people here to do it to them while they can't leave? I think you can leave.
This is quite literally the only reason I started this podcast, or we started this podcast. But, yeah, so pick number one.
Titane. Nice. So, Ian gave a quite good preamble to his pick, and I think it's better if you see the trailer to mine. Some of you may have seen it.
If you have seen it, Graham is probably the one who showed you it.
Probably, yeah. I've once showed the trailer to this to a pub full of people over the sound system. So, anyway, it's... If you move to the next slide, I feel like Boris Johnson... Yeah, let's just watch, and then we can talk.
Do you see the deep sighs of people who realise what we're about to watch? Just waiting for YouTube to buffer.
Hey guys, so what happened at this part of the live show is we watched the entire 2-minute trailer for Graham's Choice, which was a great decision in the room, but unfortunately when you're listening to the recording of it, obviously means you're just listening to a room full of people watch a YouTube video. And though the trailer is funny, I wouldn't recommend people watch it just in audio form. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to kind of skip forward, and then we'll jump back in just as the trailer wraps up.
Canal Plus and Langley Productions proudly present command performances from Kate Beckinsale, Matthew McConaughey, Patricia Arquette, and in the role of a lifetime, Tiptoes.
Yeah, so I... Hans, has anyone seen Tiptoes in here? A few, right? Yeah, it is mental. Where do we start? So I guess one of the real kind of key standouts here is if you look at that cast list, obviously you may or may not have noticed, but that is newly knighted Sir Gary Oldman on his knees.
Only in the last 6 months has acknowledged that this film even exists.
Yes, yeah, recently on a podcast, unfortunately not ours. Obviously, you've got Matthew McConaughey, you've got Kate Beckinsale, Patricia Arquette. Between them, you've got 21 major awards on that screen. 3 Oscars, 5 Golden Globes, and 8 Emmys. It will surprise none of you that none of those came from Tiptoes. It's clear why I shouldn't admit I like this movie. You just all watched the trailer. But I just, fundamentally, I love a good bad movie. And this, it really ticks all of the boxes. And just to take it back, so this came out in 2003. And just to take it back, normally you think with a film this bad, think of like some of the Nicolas Cage films he made during his tax era, right? It's because they were struggling actors. They were, you know, they needed to get a break. They needed to pay the bills. So Gary Oldman had been in True Romance, Leon, The Fifth Element. Matthew McConaughey had just entered his rom-com era, so he'd done Wedding Planner, and How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days came out the same year as Tiptoes. Kate Beckinsale had just been in Pearl Harbor, Serendipity, and Underworld, and Patricia Arquette had been...
Arquette.
I'm trying that French stuff earlier. She'd been in True Romance, Stigmata, and, I mean, Little Nicky's not really high art, but...
Has she won an Oscar by now?
Yeah, I'm sure Patricia Arquette's one of the Oscars. Yeah, so Gary Oldman, Matthew McConaughey, Patricia Arquette.
Arquette,
I don't know, it sticks. Have all got Oscars, yeah. I just think that's absolutely insane, and B, so just to bring that up to kind of cultural relevance, I asked ChatGPT to cast modern equivalents if this movie was made today, and let's be real, no one's making this movie today, but they reckon Gary Oldman would be played by, and this is based on like their filmography up to now, how successful they are, blah blah blah.
You were going to say stature then you realised that was inappropriate.
So Gary Oldman's character Rolf would be Adam Driver. You'd have Glenn Powell in the Matthew McConaughey role.
Yeah.
Beckinsale would be Florence Pugh, and then Aubrey Plaza as Patricia Arquette.
I would watch it though. That's the worst. That is the most offensive part of the whole thing.
I think so. And they still say Peter Dinklage would probably still be Peter Dinklage. But I think you should I think if you cast it now, Peter Dinklage would be the Rolf character. I think we probably are past Gary Oldman on his knees.
I think unless you're doing a bit where it turns out Gary Oldman isn't actually a dwarf, and he's just a guy standing on his knees thinking he's a dwarf.
Sorry, he doesn't
people
just...
who don't know, I don't know if like anyone knows this, Gary Oldman isn't a dwarf.
No, and he doesn't just stand on his knees. There is a scene in this movie where he's chatting with Kate Beckinsale's character, and he's sat on the couch, except Gary Oldman's not sat on the couch. Gary Oldman is in the couch, and there are two fake legs hanging out over the edge of it, and it is painfully, painfully obvious.
He also stands behind a lot of things.
Peter Dinklage is, as you saw earlier, inexplicably French and a communist, I believe.
Peter Dinklage is a French communist in the film, correct?
Yeah.
But there's also, like, my favourite scene, my favourite is a weird term. For the record, I've seen this film 4 times.
Same.
I'm yet to see Raging Bull, Godfather Part 2,
yeah,
or a lot of other really good ones. This, 4 times. There's a scene where they're all
sitting... I own it on DVD twice.
There's a scene
a copy of which is here today for one of you to win and take home. More on that later.
There's a scene in this film where they're all sitting around a giant table talking about how difficult it is being a dwarf. And that is a table full of people who would have lost out on the main role to Gary Oldman standing on his knees, who's, I'm assuming, not sitting at the table and is just talking. Yeah, no, it's tough, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he claims that he was struggling for cash. He'd just got divorced, and there'd been a writer's strike.
What's that like?
Expensive. So he just got divorced. I saw you mentally check whether or not you were going to make that joke.
I'm not going to lie. The thought process that just happened there was a weird world where I was like, his current wife knows he got married before, right?
That would be a hell of a reveal.
Because, yeah, like, imagine now is the time she finds out.
Yeah, thankfully, no. Anyway, so he and I didn't go on to make Tiptoes. But he, so he was struggling for cash. There'd just been an actor's strike, so he hadn't been much lately. So his logic was, by him signing on, the film got greenlit and got loads of these actors work that wouldn't have had work otherwise.
Helping the dwarf actors.
Yeah, hyper-rationalising it. Interestingly, so it's written and directed by a guy called what's his name? Matthew Bright.
I think it's Matthew Bright. I think. Yeah.
But yeah, so he, so because he wasn't part of the Screenwriters Guild, he couldn't take his name. He couldn't have the director's name under a pseudonym. But because that's not the same with writing, he had a pseudonym for the writing credit. So he is Bill Wiener on the as his pseudonym. Which kind of says a lot, but he was fired from the production once he turned his kite in, and has never made a film since. But the best bit about it, so Tiptoes is, I can tell you exactly, it is 86 minutes long. There is a 3-hour cut of this, which is the original director's cut, which genuinely Peter Dinklage has gone on record to say is a thing of beauty. So, I mean, make of that what you will. But
that's not Graham's words, that's the words of Emmy Award winning Peter Dinklage.
4 Emmys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a French communist, apparently.
And a French communist.
How you say, you were standing on your knees?
Precisely that. He also, so they showed this at Sundance as well, somehow. And
I think we managed to get a live show.
Where, yeah, true. And apparently, like, because he got sacked from the movie, Matthew Bright was invited there, just got up on stage and laid into the production company and kind of got booed off stage. But has since come out and said that Gary Oldman paid for his ticket to Mexico City just so he could do that.
So did Gary Oldman know he was going to, like, lambast it on stage?
Allegedly.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm not going to slander a Knight of the Realm.
Yeah. We should, though.
We probably should, but this I assume he has a sword film. Now, doesn't he?
Oh, no, he would. Does he? I don't know. I don't know many sirs.
No?
No, unfortunately.
No, I don't know any either.
That was a bit of a dead end.
Yeah.
Anyway, Gary Oldman.
So the other thing that really sticks out about this, obviously it's absurd that Gary Oldman is a dwarf, but the other thing is Gary Oldman and Matthew McConaughey here are not just brothers, they're meant to be twins. And not only are they meant to be twins, but Gary Oldman, it might not surprise you, is, I think, 12 years older than Matthew McConaughey, right? Do you guess, I don't know if you know this, guess how much age difference there is between Matthew McConaughey and Peter Dinklage. 5 months. 5 months.
Okay.
So if you wanted people who were born in the same year, and one is a dwarf, and one is not a dwarf, and you wanted them to play twin brothers, it's kind of an easier pick, do you not think?
Peter Dinklage should have been in Leon.
Well, this is very true. Well, and actually, so there was, I read another interview. I read a lot of interviews on the train up here this morning. And Peter Dinklage talked about kind of the kind of backlash that the movie got. And he said some people have compared what Gary Oldman did to blackface and blah blah blah, and
we're going down this road in a live show.
Well, yeah, it's, I mean, I didn't say it, Peter Dinklage, but Peter Dinklage's rationale was, and pretty much what you said, he's Gary Oldman, he can do what he wants.
All right. let's give this a moment.
You're
shall
just
we
letting that sink in?
Yeah. What is, and this isn't the question you have to answer because I want to be invited back.
Yeah.
What is the least appropriate role that Gary Oldman could play?
Ooh, the car in Titane.
Yeah, that's fair. Makes more sense, though. Yeah. Weirdly, that makes more sense than this.
Yeah, and it's a wild, wild movie. I genuinely implore you all to watch it. At least one of you will be able to with the DVD going home with it later. A DVD that, and I kid you not, came free with a copy of the Daily Mail. I hunted this down because I couldn't believe that was a thing. They did a weird giveaway of like 12 DVDs, and one of them they chose was Tiptoes, which was very Daily Mail.
There's been two instances, which some will say is two instances too many, of me and Graham nearly accidentally outbidding each other on the same eBay listing.
Do you want to say what the other one is?
One of them was Tiptoes, and the other one was the Jason Donovan board game. Which this is 100% true. We were at a pub arguing how quickly we could eat a boiled egg before a gig. And the pub had a list of board games, and it was what you would expect. It was like Monopoly, like
Buckaroo,
Club Trumps, Buckaroo, Jason Donovan. And we were just like, what the fuck is Jason? So we thought it was just a mistake. We asked the guy, and the bartender laughed the whole way to the other end of the bar, picked the board game up, and came back and gave it. And it includes questions such as, what is Jason Donovan's view on nuclear disarmament? And when was your first kiss?
Yeah, not Jason Donovan's.
Because this is a game designed for teenage girls.
Yeah, who famously are really into nuclear disarmament.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's, I don't know where we were going with that. Oh, Daily Mail. Yeah, and if any of you want to know, I won both of those eBay listings, and Ian is now the proud owner of the Jason Donovan board game.
That was one year for our birthday. Our birthday. One year for my birthday, I got the Jason Donovan board game, and for Graham's, I got him Saddam Hussein written erotica.
Again,
that's a thing, by the way. Google that afterwards. That's a thing.
It is. So yeah, I mean, I think I've made my argument pretty clear here. I shouldn't, but you've all saw the trailer. I shouldn't admit I love it. But I just have such a soft spot for a good bad movie. And I think this kind of epitomizes it. Because not only is it a terrible movie, not only was it made clearly in earnest by a guy who thought he was making some kind of masterpiece, but everything around it is just insane. So yeah, Tiptoes.
Tiptoes. A neck. Next slide. That was a bright one. That hit me in the face.
Yes.
Right, so those were our choices.
Yep.
But we also threw it out to you guys. And I can see the person who picked The Crow 2 pointing at The Crow 2 being on the screen. We had some good choices. We had some bad choices. We also had Nicolas Cage's Deadfall.
Someone didn't understand the brief either because they chose Jaws, and I don't understand that.
So we've kind of like we there's a couple of these we're going to pick from, but I think there are some amazing ones here, and an honourable mention to Batman and Robin, which was the only film selected twice, because a lot of people apparently love that piece of shit.
I love a good bad movie, but Batman and Robin is just a bad movie.
Batman and Robin is dying, but I don't know. I enjoyed the process of watching it.
It was lockdown.
Nice yes. to meet you. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm doing a lot of accent.
You are. Badly. I'm absolutely nailing it.
Yeah.
Should we go through a few that stood out?
Yeah.
So my first one, and he's in the room, our boy Harley, picked the Matrix sequels. So we also asked people why they were picking them. So his quote was, "I think they're quite good, but most people hate them." And sorry, Harley, but I'm with most people because they are shit. But I do. It should have been The Matrix, and then it should have been The Animatrix, which is phenomenal.
Good. Matrix the Third. That's not the name. Matrix the Third. I would call it Matrix the Third.
Yeah.
Has that kind of cool bit with the mech suits, and I like that.
Yeah.
I sound like a child.
I have got.
I like mech suits.
You like the big robots.
Yeah. Mech suits in a world where you can, like...
Eat slop.
Sorry, I'm trying to think of a word that isn't jack yourself. Plug yourself into the internet.
Right.
But they still use wheelbarrows. I'd assume there'd be like a weird like sci-fi thing you could do.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Don't know. I have got a soft spot for Resurrections, though. I do quite like Matrix Resurrections. But yeah. And also, you can go on to another one of your standouts, but there, some coward picked Midsommar, and I think I know who it might have been.
Are you sure?
But they didn't, but they're the only person that didn't put their name, so
fair enough.
Yeah, we'll leave it as that.
Just quick one, emails, but I think Garrett Wilson has been ruled out.
Oh, shit. Do it. Okay.
Fantasy football update. We've got them in our. Shit, that actually impacts me.
Yeah.
Balls. This is awful.
Right, come on. We've not.
Anyway, my brother, who. Yeah, I'm not going to say that. My brother.
Your brother.
Picked Fisherman's Friends. And his reasoning was, simply put, it's a fantastic film. aimed at middle-aged women, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. The reason I like this choice is, it's not just Fisherman's Friends, but it's that whole genre of film, and I could tell you the plot of every single one. There is a middle-aged man or woman who is divorced or widowed, who takes on a hobby which is a bit odd. And they really like it, and for some reason the town like really gets behind them. Because there's one where Rob Brydon takes up male synchronized swimming.
I'll tell you
what. Celia Imrie's in like 80% of these films as well.
Yeah.
I think in one with a choir or dancing or both.
Is it one about potato pill pie or something as well?
Yeah. Something they're all like shit. But well, I love them all.
Yeah, but as I said to you yesterday, because we only have the same conversations over and over again.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But the Ballad of Wallace Island, I think, fits into that kind of genre.
That was
fantastic.
No one fucks a car in it, which is a shame.
No. There's no cars on the island.
Yeah.
Just some boats. Okay, I'm going to go with... friend of the podcast and director of the fantastic Mighty Penguins documentary. We did an episode on it. Watch it if you haven't seen it. Louis Miles, he picked The Meg. And his rationale was big fuck off, massive shark, completely ham, complete ridiculousness, Jason Statham, no notes, which I wholeheartedly agree with.
Accurate description, if anything.
Yeah, I would say so.
Which one should I go for next? So Dave of the incredible Unequal Sequel podcast picked a film called Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets. And his reason was, because it's trash. Way too long, the casting is horrible, the dialogue is hideous, the story makes little to no sense, and yet somehow I had a total blast with it. And that speaks to me, because I remember watching this film. I was on the sofa watching it in the kitchen. My wife was having a haircut by what can only be described as the most talkative hairdresser ever. Because she would, and don't get me wrong, your hair always looked amazing afterwards. Yeah, she was great, but she would be in our house for like 10 hours. Like, and I watched this, like, I thought, oh, you know what? Valerian will get me through.
Yeah.
And I just kind of, like, so my wife half watched it and then asked me what the plot was, and it just kind of sounds like a lie. Because as soon as you say the phrase, well, Rihanna plays a shape-shifting, like, octopus lady, she was then just, you know, well, if you're not going to tell me the truth, why not?
Yeah, yeah. And if it was that long, you clearly needed the 3-hour cut of Tiptoes, didn't you?
Well, exactly.
Which, weirdly, Nicholas Winding Refn has a copy of, because he loves Tiptoes. Anyway.
That's weird.
It is weird. Mean Girls. This is one that I wholeheartedly agree with, because I think it's a fantastic
You're
movie.
Just doing the corner that I'm blocking out.
You knew what I was picking beforehand, so you put them there.
Yeah, I was just trying to make it look pretty, to be honest.
Picked by Sam Budd. One of my favourite movies of my teen years. I'm now a 35-year-old man and still can quote most of that film and still find it hilarious. And it is a very good movie. Tina Fey and Amy Poehler as well was involved in it. Mm-hmm. Just... very, very good. And the sequels and that musical was fucking trash. But anyway.
Yeah. And final one I'm going to talk about in detail before we just kind of stare at the posters. And this is, I think, one of my favourite ones. So this is from a friend of the podcast, kind of, my wife. And this is verbatim. I'm a huge believer in that there should be no such thing as a guilty pleasure. Art in any media is made to be enjoyed and or critiqued, even if you enjoyed it. It feels like a way to judge people. Anyway, it's Skyscraper. She then calls out the fact that there's a guy in it who was repeatedly called Best Friend Ben, who immediately betrays The Rock. The Rock, has anyone seen Skyscraper? So The Rock's got one leg, for no real reason.
Well, there's a reason, because he uses it to prop open the door.
Well, yeah.
It was a plot device.
But with one leg, he runs at something like 28 miles an hour in dress shoes on a crane.
He's the fucking Rock, Ian.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, no, fair. I'll take that. And then holds a bridge up that he's standing on.
Yeah, I don't
God,
think
I
the,
love that film.
The physics don't work, do they?
Yeah, it's awful, but it is fantastic. But yeah, there are a couple...
Go on.
I was just going to say, there's some good ones up there.
No, there's not.
No.
Well, Barbie's pretty good. Crank 2 High Voltage is fantastic. The Human Centipede is
The
not...
Human Centipede, the person who picked this, who I won't name, but his name is Jake. I believe just referred to it as fascinating.
It kind of is fascinating, because the guy thought of the plot because he was trying to think of a way to punish paedophiles. That was like his inspiration for it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so and also, I didn't know Bring It On had four or maybe more movies either.
There's a Bring It On sequel that's a flat out
It's a slasher, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Is it that one?
No, that's, okay. That's just the next one.
Fair enough. So we need to pick one of these for the audience pick, don't we?
Yeah, yeah, we do. Oh, and also, just a quick call out for National Treasure 2, which was a choice picked by AI. Which I'm just going to throw it out there. I spent too much time making a ChatGPT just for the podcast.
Yes.
And it decided to pick National Treasure 2. Well, which made me think, you know what? Maybe everything's going to be okay.
It's not wrong, I suppose.
It's not wrong. It is an awful, awful... It is the worst of
can,
the...
Can ChatGPT feel shame?
I can ask.
Okay.
I did have to ask it earlier, what car did she fucking titan? Because that's a weird thing to...
With
for
that
some reason, I felt
specific
that,
wording?
Yeah, oh yeah. And more, now, I didn't want to Google it because I was on a work laptop at the time.
But you were happy to chat GPT it on a
yeah,
laptop?
Yeah, because chat GPT, I don't think the individual searches come up on your web history.
Oh, right, okay, with you.
I hope. Otherwise, I'm going to be having a very interesting discussion.
On Monday.
Yeah. Damn it, HR, it was a good film.
So, audience pick. I think we conferred on this, right?
We did confer, because this is all a charade.
Yeah, and I think we're going to go with The Meg.
Yeah, and in no way are we doing that just because it was picked by a famous documentarian.
Yeah, who we get to now tag
ferociously. Great, yeah.
Huh?
Look, because he also did the one. Actually, that documentary was never released, but he did it on that weird, like Italian, like UFC,
Calcico something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Weirdly, so, the last time I watched that was when I was babysitting.
Cool.
Yeah.
at least it wasn't titane.
Yeah.
Right, we've got about 5 minutes left, so we need to get through. Have you had any emails come through or no?
No, we've had no emails, so you can...
Okay, right, so the way to win Tiptoes...
Quentin Johnston is out, though.
Okay. The way to win this copy of Tiptoes, given away free by the Daily Mail, but purchased by me on eBay for £20, is you've all got QR codes on things on your... on your tables.
They went for those surprisingly quickly, given they know what the prize is.
If you sign up, it gives you 2 free months of Patreon, and whoever comes through first on Ian's email gets Tiptoes.
So. And if you're already a Patreon, you won't be able to sign up, but obviously we've made a tour t-shirt we'll be printing afterwards, and we're just going to give you one of those.
Yeah, so ferociously tap away. But whilst you're doing that, and I'm sure you can all multitask, normally we would have an argument about the order of the final top three. But we haven't got time for that because I think we've got 4 minutes to go. So I think we've, as mentioned, the old audience clapometer, which I realise now is a mistake because you're all looking at your phones. So you can just whoop and holler instead.
Tell you what, we'll just do 30 seconds of just kind of like...
A filler.
Is that girl from Ipanema?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. Am I allowed to do that?
Didn't Tim Curry do that?
Yeah, no, it's Tim Curry did a cover podcast. Of that. Tim Curry's great. Tim who's Curry's your favourite actor who's also a food?
Timothy Chalamet.
Would it be a type of cheese?
Yeah, French.
So that's quite why pungent, you don't like quite, Timothy Chalamet?
Quite pungent.
Yeah.
Right, so, 3 picks, as you may remember, were Titane for Ian, Tiptoes for me, and a friend of the pod, Louis Miles, picked The Meg. Now, remember that specifically, you should. It's not the best film. It's the film that you shouldn't. Well, that we shouldn't admit that we enjoyed the most. So bear that in mind when you're voting. So, whoops and hollers for Titane.
Well, fuck you all. She fucks a car. Thanks.
Whoops and hollers for Tiptoes.
I have been shamed.
You have absolutely been shamed, and those fivers I was handing out at the door really worked. And whoops and hollers for The Meg.
Fuck!
You lost out to the guests as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's annoying. I, however, can edit this.
You can, yeah, yeah. Do you remember when you spiralled because you lost a load of undrafters in a row?
Yes, no, and that this was happened I kept referring it to comparing it to Welsh rugby and referring it to it as my darkest moment, which isn't ideal.
Yes.
I also recently spiraled because we found a website that does like an AI summary of podcasts, and it had the names of hosts, and it referred to Graham as being humorous, and it referred to me as being interesting. And I thought about that for weeks.
We recently climbed Ben Nevis, and that took 8.5 hours, and about half of that was Ian lamenting the fact that AI didn't think he was funny.
I was in the drive home at one point, I just shouted, "But I am funny!"
Yeah.
And I am.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Just because we've been nominated 3 times by comedy awards, but not for anything that actually involves us being funny.
Is Shane Ritchie getting a Toby Carvery before a funeral is funny? Like, that's objectively funny.
You think that's funny?
Yes.
He was going to a funeral.
Yeah, and thought, you know what I need? A Carvery.
True. And if anyone wants a film about grief and car fucking, okay.
Anyway. So, right, well, you need to do the sum up.
I haven't had an email come through yet, so I'll just have to keep an eye, and whoever it is,
we'll find you after.
Give you the Daily Mail's best copy of Tiptoes we could find. So, the podcast nobody asked for's top or official top 3 films we shouldn't admit we enjoyed. At number 3 is the car fucking extravaganza that is Titan. At number 2 is The Meg, which for some reason we didn't even go into detail, and apparently people find that like a bit weirder than liking a French film where someone fucked. I'm not bitter. Set 2 is The Meg, and number 1, like to be fair, it is a fucking weird one, is Tiptoes.
It is Tiptoes, yes. So I guess all that remains is to thank you all for coming out. Thank you to Cheerful Earful for putting this on, and
thank you to Alex for manning the slides. We appreciate it.
Yes, and sound lights, everyone at the door. We're all heading off to Bloodsport in Covent Garden for some drinks. So if you want to come join us.
Thank you very much.
For this.
And in the role of a lifetime, Gary Oldman. Tiptoes.
Ian and Graham, this is a very special message to you. Not to me, to you, from me. Congratulations, my friends, on your first live show at the Cheerful Comedy Festival. And good luck with a podcast that nobody asked for. Oh dear, oh dear. As for Benny Laurent, Benny from Rent. Sorry, never heard of it. Have a great day, guys. Have a good one.